Well, thank you, Aaron, for asking me to volunteer to do a Devo. I really do appreciate it, and I do want to become less fearful of speaking to women, because I know it's a sea of pink, but you should see your faces. They're a little scary. Just saying. It's the truth. So I'm just going to see something else, I guess. I don't know. I'm going to try. Okay, so tonight, instead of choosing, she did say I would get bonus points if I picked a Devo topic on Colossians. So what did I do? Not pick a Devo. I don't know. I know. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But I wanted to talk about the importance of personal Bible study. And I think that's a good topic. Everyone here wants to dig deep into the Word. And so we should all talk, we should all want to be, to have a personal relationship with God. We all need one. And it's not anyone's responsibility but ours. It's not our preachers. It's not our elders. No one. No one at all but ours. We must have a personal desire to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Matthew 5, 6. So how can we develop this spiritual relationship? The answer is simple. It's by studying God's Word, by hiding it in our heart. So let's look at Psalm 119 for starters. Psalm 119 is written as an acrostic poem. There are 22 sections, each with 8 verses, and that equals 176 verses total. And that makes it the longest chapter in our English Bible. Each of the 8 verses are headed with one of the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. I'm not sure if everyone was aware of that, but that is what the Aleph, and obviously I don't speak Hebrew, so anyways. So mine has that above each of those 8 verses, and I'm not sure that every Bible does that, but mine does. So I want to ask a question. Did you realize that there are 8 words used in this psalm that are equivalent to God's Word? So let's look first at verse 1. There is the word law. And verse 2 is testimonies. Verse 4. The third word for God's law is precepts. Verse 5 has statutes. Verse 6 has commandments. 7 is judgments. Verse 9 has words. Verse 43 has ordinances, and in Hebrew that is the same word for judgment. And out of 176 verses, only 4 verses do not use a synonym for God's Word. So Psalm 119 also talks a lot about meditating on God's Word. Let's look in verse 11. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. I've hidden it in my heart. Let's look at verse 15 and 16. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Verse 23. Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. Verse 48. My hands also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. Verse 55. I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and I keep your law. Verse 59. I thought about my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. Verse 78. Let the proud be ashamed, for they treated me wrongfully with falsehood. But I will meditate on your precepts. Verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Verse 99. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. And verse 148. My eyes are awake through the night watches, that I may meditate on your word. That's a lot of talk about God's law and meditating. And as Christy pointed out with keywords, we should note how many times it talks about meditating on God's word. It's pretty important. Now let's flip over to Psalm 1. And look at verses 1 and 2. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Not just sometimes, day and night. Now let's flip over to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. No, starting with 13, sorry. Start with 13, and then we'll do 15 and 16. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. And then skip down to 15. Meditate on these things, give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Do you want to go to heaven? I do. And like Mona said in her lesson, I want to take as many people as I can with me. I want everyone that I know and love to go to heaven. And I want those that I don't know to go to heaven too. And the only way we can teach them is if we hide God's word in our heart to know it so we can tell them about it. Let's look at Joshua 1:8. This is a lot of flipping, but it's a lesson on God's word, so we should look at it. All right. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Flip back to Psalm number 19. And verse 14, Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Psalm 49, verse 3. Psalm 49, verse 3. My mouth shall speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall give understanding. All of these verses we've read talk about meditating on God's word. So now let me ask a question. Other than John 3:16, if you were stranded on an island without a Bible, could you truly meditate on God's word? And I thought long and hard about that for myself. I mean, there are things that I know, but there are a lot of things that I don't have hidden in my heart, and I know I need to work on that. To meditate means to engage in thought or contemplation, to reflect. So can we truly meditate on God's word without hiding it in our heart? Romans 8 talks about setting your mind on things of the Spirit. In verses 5 and 6, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And then verse 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. How nice it is to be called sons of God. Ephesians 5 talks about walking by the Spirit. Let's look at Ephesians 5. Verses 15 through 17. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. All of our decisions that we make are based on what we understand is expected of us. So how can we know what's expected unless we study it? Let's turn to Galatians 5. Galatians 5 contrasts the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. Starting in verse 19, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Now, when you first look at this list, there are many things that none of us would ever even think of doing. But let's notice some of the things that are all too common. Has anyone ever been jealous? Ever? I know I have. Have you ever had an outburst of wrath, gotten angry, and quickly reacted? Have you ever been selfish, caused dissension? These are some things that some of us might do from time to time. And this is why we must study God's word, because these things will keep us out of heaven. So now let's look at verse 22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Now let's look at 2 Peter 3:18. 2 Peter 3:18. "But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen." So we must grow in knowledge by studying God's word. Turn back a page or two to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 11. Here we find what I'm going to call God's recipe for spiritual growth. Why is it so important to grow continually? Well, Jeremiah 7:24 has the answer. "Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but followed the counsels and the dictates of their evil hearts and went backward and not forward." So continual effort must be given for spiritual growth. I have an illustration. A canoe paddling to the river source upstream. If you stop paddling, what will happen? You will drift backwards. That same concept applies to our spiritual growth. If we stop studying, we stop growing. And if we stop growing, we're drifting backward. Okay, so back to 2 Peter 1. In verses 3 and 4, we're given the basis or the starter for our recipe. And remember, this is God's recipe for spiritual growth. "As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." This is God's part, his divine power. It begins with him, the power of God. It's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Next, in verses 5 through 7, we have the additives for the recipe, and that's man's part. Let's read. "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love." Then verses 8 through 11 are the preservatives for the recipe. "For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble." If you do these things, That's talking about doing them continually. We want to be long-sighted with heaven as our ultimate goal, grateful that our sins are forgiven. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Proverbs 8:10, "Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold." So here it's displaying knowledge as more valuable than gold. Ecclesiastes 12:13, we're all familiar with. "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all." Living under God's control keeps us on the narrow path to heaven. Philippians 3:8, Paul counted all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Now, some people from time to time think that they can't study and learn God's word. They think they can't memorize scriptures. But really, and not to hurt anybody's feelings, but that really is all about priorities. And a lot of times, as my lovely mother-in-law says, I have to look at that girl in the mirror and give her a talking to. I have to tell her, get your priorities right. Your little girl's eyes watch everything you do. They watch everything you say. They listen to you. They see if you study. They see if you read. They see if you teach. They know everything you do. And you are an example for them. The most important thing that we, our goal on this earth, the most important thing of all things is to get to heaven and to take as many people as you can. So let's look at a few plans or strategies that we can do. And first of all, have personal study time, but study with your kids too. If you still have children at home, study with them. There are things that you can do if you don't have an idea of a focus of what to study. Well, sign up to go to a Bible search or a Lads to Leaders. There's a conference in Dallas that I was just talking about today with Christy and Aaron. Those things give you focused things to study, and they tell you, they give you list of things to memorize, scriptures, or learning to lead singing. And if I had done that when I was a child growing up all those years, I wouldn't be nervous today. And so I want those things for my girls. I want them to not be afraid. You can always get a daily Bible reading schedule on the internet. Those are good things. They keep up with how much to read each day so that you can read through the entire Bible in a year. Focus Press has a really good book that I have at home, and it's called I Grow. It is 365 daily devotionals with specific texts to read, think about, pray about, apply to your life specifically, and the total of each day takes about 15 minutes, and it will say, take 2 minutes to do this, take 3 minutes to do this, and 4 minutes to do this. But it makes you apply what you've read to you. How can this apply to me? And that's a very good way to study. And 15 minutes a day, I mean, honestly, who doesn't have 15 minutes? We all have 15 minutes. And I bought my daughter Jessica one, and she's now moved away, and now she's married. She married almost 2 months ago. And it's kind of neat because we can study the same day on the same day and talk about it or text about it or email about it or whatever. And that's this way I can still keep connected with her even though she's 7.5 hours away. Not that I'm keeping too close of track on that. No. She's very happy and I'm very happy for her. There are also lots of reference books. I'm not sure how many of you know what's out there. But Knave's Topical Bible is very good. Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. Vine's Expository Dictionary. ESORT is also free on the internet. And they have a version called King James Version Plus that has all of the Strong's numbers that you can just put your little mouse on and it pulls up definitions of those. And one of my very favorite ways that I have discovered in the last probably 3.5 to 4 years is Bible marking. And here is my Come Fill Your Cup plug. Bonus points. Just saying. ComeFillYourCup.com. Just search Bible marking. And there are tons of Bible marking topics that you can go through and mark in your Bible, and I think it's very good for people like me who get nervous. If I have a friend who is struggling, I have a topic in here, right here. When Christians suffer, someone who's suffering with something and their faith, they're just not sure of it, I can not wonder what I'm going to say with them. I can say, hey, let's look at this. Or someone who doesn't know about God and his plan of salvation. I have one, the plan of salvation, and talks about how you want to be in Christ to receive his blessings. And that's a really good one, too. One that I've done with my girls that I absolutely love is scientific foreknowledge, proving things that men discovered at whatever year that they were talked about in the Bible before that. And those are good things to strengthen their faith, even at a young age. So that's one of my favorite ways. But I also like the others, too. Family devotionals are very great, and I'm thankful to have a husband who studies very much that can lead those very well, and I don't always have to do that. Because when we do it together as a family, then it's his job, which is very nice. So we all must have a personal relationship with God. We must have our own faith. We can't get to heaven on our preachers, our elders, our teachers, our parents, anybody's. It has to be ours. You have to have a personal desire to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now, that's something that I think about. I've never in my entire life been hungry or thirsty where I didn't know when I was going to be able to eat or drink. Now, I've been hungry and thirsty, but to hunger and thirst in that way after righteousness, that'll make you steady. It does require study, and it's so important because heaven is at stake. Take time to meditate on God's word. Be like the Bereans in Acts 17:11, where it says they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Don't take someone's word for it. The people speaking are human. Know that it's true. Know it to be so. Develop the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians 5. Grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord, 2 Peter 3:18. Study 2 Peter 1 and know God's recipe for spiritual growth. Live under God's control and be on that narrow path to heaven. Make a plan to study and stick to it. If we, you know, that phrase, if you fail to plan, then you plan to fail. Well, if we don't plan to study, then we probably won't get around to it. So make a plan and stick to it. You know, ask a friend over to get together and study together. That's where you can really help each other and grow with one another. Pray. Ask God to help you. Resolve today to do all you can to get to heaven and take as many people with you as possible. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us this day to gather together to study your word. Help us to realize how important this task truly is. Be with each of these ladies and myself, and help us all to be diligent students of your word. Help us to learn to lean on each other, search out for spiritual friendships, and learn from one another. Like it says, to learn the older to teach the younger. Help us to seek those relationships and really focus on them so that we can learn. Help us to lean on each other so we can get to heaven and help each other get there. Thank you so much for Jesus, because we know without his sacrifice for us that it wouldn't even be possible for us to make it to heaven. We're very grateful for all that you do for us each and every day, all the blessings, a lot of times that we forget to mention. We are grateful. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.